Hello everyone, I'm Luke Blattman and welcome to the Motor Racing Passion Podcast. We had the entry list for the rapidly approaching Bathurst 12-hour released on Wednesday, and I thought I'd give a few of my thoughts on what we see on the entry list for the 2023 race. Firstly, how refreshing is it to wait for an entry list and actually be surprised by what's in it? You really don't get that with the Supercars 1000 these days, and probably haven't since about 2005 or so at the latest. All the main series drivers and just about all the co-drivers are generally known by mid-year, if not the start of the year, and any potential wildcards are known about and rumoured about for months leading up as well. Even the Indy 500 and Le Mans, their entry lists are pretty much known quantities months out these days. As a kid, I remember you'd be excited during late August or early September when the entry list for the Bathurst 1000 would come out, and you'd see all these cars and drivers on the list that weren't regulars in the Australian Touring Car Championship or international entries in the Group A years and the Super Touring years. And it had a real air of difference about it and expectation leading up to it. And it's a similar feeling with the 12-hour entry list coming out these days. There's always a few entries that haven't been formally announced, and I think they provide great talking points. The only thing missing really is the drivers' names with the cars, but I assume they'll drip feed them over the next few days. 28 cars entered in total, which on the surface seems a bit thin, considering all the talk we've heard in the press for the last few months that the 12-hour was going to be back to its best in 2023. But if you look a bit deeper, you'll see obviously that 22 of those cars are GT3 cars, which is amazing, really, and that's about as many as you need in terms of outright cars. And to be fair, the GT3 environment has changed a lot since the 2020 12-hour. You look at, for instance, Aston Martin's commitment has dropped off. Bentley obviously pulled the pin on their works involvement. So there's four pre-COVID regular cars gone. The Honda program, which they obviously came out in 2020 in terms of the IGTC, that's dropped off as well. So what we're left with in terms of GT3 cars is one lone Lamborghini against the four German marques being Mercedes, Audi, Porsche, and the very exciting new BMW. Eight Pro Class cars entered, which isn't too bad. And then you've got eight cars in the Pro-Am class, and I really think a Pro-Am entry can win the race, given there'll be plenty of good drivers in the cars. And if the yellows work out during the day, and they can get the AM drivers, get all their laps done early, and there's a yellow in the last hour or two, and the Pro-Am cars have got the Pro drivers in, there's nothing really stopping them challenging for the win. It's a little bit harder, but especially with that ridiculous lucky dog rule still in place, that could keep them in the game. So if we have a look through the entry, obviously at the top is the Sun Energy car, running in the Pro class, which is interesting in itself. So does that mean Kenny Habul isn't running? We'll wait and see. Also be interesting to see if that car runs number one or sticks with the number 75. Hopefully they run number one, because I mean, GT racing is one of the few categories that haven't gone for numbers in the back windows, so they've still got numbers on the doors, so numbers still mean a little bit. Obviously alongside them we've got Super Cheap Auto Racing, which will be a front runner. Group M Racing, they're coming back, hopefully in a man filter colour scheme. Craft Bamboo, they'll try to go one better than 2022. Melbourne Performance Centre, just the one Pro Audi, but it'll be interesting to see who they've got behind the wheel. It'll be interesting to see if there's Valvoline stickers on the car, as had become the norm. Manti, a lot of expectation on this car. We've seen the colour scheme released today and the drivers, Matt Campbell obviously leading the charge. Running the 912, car looks a bit more green than yellow, a bit more greeno than grello, I guess you could say, but that'll be a front runner. And then the big attraction, I think, the return of BMW to the 12-hour, the return of WRT to the 12-hour, and the first visit to the Bathurst 12-hour for Valentino Rossi. Rossi carrying on the tradition of international motorcycle stars racing at Bathurst, and hopefully he has the sort of luck that the likes of Greg Hansford, Johnny Sciacquotto, Wayne Gardner obviously, hopefully he has some of the success they had around Bathurst. Hansford obviously a winner, Wayne Gardner got on the podium, Johnny Sciacquotto finished fourth, and he stunningly made the top 10, Hardy's heroes in the 1987 World Touring Car round when he was in a little BMW M3 against Sierras and Commodores. It's a pity someone didn't line up Yamaha to maybe give Rossi a bike to do some laps of Bathurst on, given Bathurst's motorcycle history and motorcycle heritage. Or maybe BMW technically should have given him a bike. But anyway, that would have been cool to see. As I said, 8 Pro-Am class cars, 3 Audis, 3 Mercedes, 2 Porsches. The interesting entries in here, you've got a 888 race engineering Mercedes in Pro-Am. Now, that makes you wonder, I guess, who's preparing the Sun Energy car. I haven't seen it mentioned. That was obviously a 888 prepared car in the 2022 race. A 888 running 3 cars? We'll wait and see. The 2 EBM Porsches. Presumably one of the EBM cars is the Grove car. And they'll be interesting to see who turns up in the second car, whether there's some Porsche factory drivers coming out for that one. Another 6 cars in the silver class, 3 Audis, 2 Mercedes, and the lone Lamborghini from Wall Racing. I think in many people's eyes, that'll be a bit of the sentimental hero car, taking it up to the Germans. That'll be a good little battle amongst itself, those cars. A bit of a GT World Challenge Australia sort of class battle. There's some great variety in the Invitational class. The only problem is there's only 6 of them, but at least they're all different. We've got a Cup Car Porsche, we've got the GT4 Mercedes, the KTM GT2's coming back again, 2 Marks, 1 Mark Mazda, which is great to see another one of them back in the race. We've got the Mark II V8, and it's great to see the Daytona Sports Cars team coming back, giving the Sin its first run in the 12-hour. But like I said, where's the rest of them? The same question still seems to apply to what we said about the 2022 race in our recap of that back in mid last year. We're at 28 cars. There's still tons of room on the grid. Why aren't other local cars willing to enter like they did 6 or 7 years ago? I mean, GT3, it's still flourishing and it's in no danger of falling over, but it appears that the organisers have gone back to 2020 mode and they've pinned the race's future on GT3, and its survival is dependent on the health of GT3 racing internationally. And that's not the right move, in my opinion, just as a fan. I think there needs to be a base of local competitors wanting to compete, and there's something that's turning them off at the moment, sadly, for some reason. Is it cost? Is it not wanting to look over their shoulders all day with the overseas GT3 cars coming past? That might be it, but maybe that's just how much the world's changed, because years and years ago nobody minded driving a little Corolla against Ford Sierras, and even nowadays people don't mind driving a Ferrari 488 at Le Mans against a hypercar coming past. The invitation class still has a trophy to fight for. Or do the organisers just only want a couple of invitational cars and want to concentrate on GT3. Perhaps it is the latter. The thing is that if there is any downturn in GT3 racing at all, it's going to have a direct effect on the 12-hour survival, especially as the GT World Challenge Australia hasn't exactly seen monster grids in the last year or so. And 2022 proved you can do the 12-hour based around local cars, which we were sort of told wasn't possible in 2021. Not that you really could have run the race in 2021, but that was given as the reason originally why it was cancelled, that they wanted to wait and run it with international cars, as it wasn't felt a local race would do the event justice. You wouldn't want to have 20 cars year on year, but at least 2022 proved it could be done. But we've pretty much now gone back to relying on international cars to fill the grid. We've got Ford and Chevrolet joining the GT3 party in the next year or so, which you'd think both will put efforts into the 12-hour going forward, so that's a positive. And as I said, I mean, in the immediate future, GT3 and the 12-hour is fine. The lack of class cars, though, and the lack of more local entries, the general downturn of both, does concern me, though. As a fan, obviously I haven't got the financials of the organisers. And as I always say, 28 cars isn't a lot if you're a fan trackside, especially if there's a safety car. You're staring at blank tarmac for a long time before the next cars come around, and I think that gets lost. You can make the whole race stay exciting on TV because the camera can follow cars anywhere on the track. But if you're trackside, and you're there to watch cars on the track, you're not there to watch the big screen. But I mean, I'm still going to go, so they're still going to get their money out of me, I guess. Either way, I can't wait to get up there. It's going to be a great event. It's going to be good for it to be much warmer this year. It was pretty cold and pretty wet in 2022. Hopefully we don't get the 40 degree days of 2020. But if it's just a four nice warm days, that'll do it. And by the 4 days, I mean the Monday for when we pack up the campsites. There's nothing worse than it pouring down rain when you're trying to pack up on the Monday morning. So roll on the end of January. That'll about do for now. Thanks for joining me on a quick look at the entry list and a bit of comment and reaction to it. Jump under our Facebook, Instagram and Twitter channels to talk about the upcoming 12 hour. And I'll see you on another podcast soon. Bye for now.